if you are somebody that is concerned about where they are in the market, you know, it's look around, you know, and there are opportunities out there for somebody that you know has a unique skill that maybe they are leaving some money on the table.
You're listening to Be That Lawyer, life-changing strategies and resources for growing a successful law practice. Each episode, your host, author, and lawyer coach, Steve Fretzen, will take a deeper dive, helping you grow your law practice in less time with greater results. Now, here's your host, Steve Fretzen.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Be That Lawyer. I am Steve Fretzen, your host. And listen, I hope you're having a lovely day. I am wrapping up my day. I told Marco that this is it. I am done after this podcast, and then I'm going to take a nap, I think. Just a lot going on today between teaching lawyers how to do business development, running a networking event. This is my second podcast today, and I'm a little blown out. So I'm going to take a break and take a nap. That's my story. Listen, if you haven't picked up a copy yet and you're interested in learning some of my basic tips and tricks and ideas on how to grow your law practice, jump on Amazon and check out Legal Business Development Isn't Rocket Science. I think you'll appreciate the fact that it isn't, and the fact that I'm giving you tips and tricks and ideas, specific language to use on all these different areas, how to work a conference, how to be better at a networking event, how to, you know, identify through nonverbal skills, you know, what someone's really saying. All these kinds of things are in the book. I've got, I think, 250 takeaways. So check that out. It's on Amazon. And if you like it, give it a nice review. I'd appreciate that. Right now, I think I've only got 5-star reviews. So that's a good thing. I've got Marco, as I mentioned, waiting in the wings. I want to take a moment to thank my sponsors, Legalese Marketing, helping me with my podcast, with my social, with my newsletter, with my events, all kinds of stuff, updating my website. Man, they're doing it all for me. And of course, MoneyPenny. So what's MoneyPenny? Well, MoneyPenny does a couple things really well. First of all, they're on my website. So you want to chat with somebody and figure out if I'm a good fit and you want to have a conversation with me, talk to MoneyPenny on my website, figure it out, and then we can have a chat after that. Also, they have virtual reception. So you're tired of paying somebody, you can't find a good receptionist. They do it 24/7 and they're very good at what they do. And so that's what they do. So listen, it's time to get down to the goods. And Marco was kind enough to give me a really good quote that I think is super relevant to his space. And this is from Sir Richard Branson. That was like a Beatles English accent, by the way. I don't think it might have been Paul. I don't know. No, was that, who was that? That sounded like one of the four. Maybe John. All right. Train people well enough so they can leave you. Treat them well enough so they don't. So that's the big fear, right? People don't want, they want to train people so well, and then they just leave. Maybe they weren't being treated right. Maybe they weren't really feeling the love. So what's that quote mean for you, Marco? And welcome to the show, by the way.
Oh, thanks for having me. I mean, that quote is important. You know, as an agency, a recruiter, staffing firm, a headhunter, whatever you want to call us. I mean, it's critical that our job, we like to think, is not complete when somebody starts. Although we lose control at that point, we've got full control up, you know, through the interview and through the interviews and the offer acceptance and all that. But the majority of our work is done when they start. So a lot of times we'll get that call that, you know, 6 months later and they're just raving about the candidate. You know, he's really working out. She's really working out. They're doing a great job. What a great hire. What a great fit. And one of the questions that we ask in the beginning is, when we look back after 6 months, what does success look like? And, you know, and employers are different. You know, they all believe that their way is the best way for retaining candidates. Some are finding out that there, especially through the pandemic, a lot of people are finding out that, you know, people are moving around for different reasons. So, you know, and the quote stems from the fact that people want to be trained. They want to feel included. Inclusiveness is a big, big word that we're hearing a lot of. And of course, you know, people want to be treated well. Nobody wants to be treated any differently than great.
Yeah. And I think we're going to get into the meat and potatoes of salaries and compensation and why people stay, why they go and all that. But I think it's leading to an important discussion topic of, you know, it's how people feel. I mean, ultimately, you don't leave a job if you feel loved, if you feel like you're part of the team, if you feel like there's a mission that you're a part of, that you're engrossed in it, you love the people. Even if someone offers you more money, I don't think you're leaving that job, because every day you're happy working with these people, doing interesting work and feeling appreciated. And is that just not happening in the law firm space at the level it should?
Well, you have to think about what that really means. You know, when you've got your staff and your associates and your partners and your administration that's not in the building anymore because they're working remote, how do you encourage that?
Yeah.
How do you make somebody feel good? And it's and there's a whole new sector of developing remote culture that's growing out there. I mean, we never talked about remote culture before. How do you create a group that's unique to your firm where people can share and collaborate and laugh and tell jokes and feel like they're part of a team? One of the questions that I always like to ask, and this is not in the beginning, but maybe 6 months or a year after we place somebody, whether it's a paraprofessional or a group of attorneys, which we do both, is, hey, do you have a best friend at the firm? It's always a great question, because you know, if they have a best friend at the firm, they're talking to them and they feel like they're part of something, which is a great way to encourage workplace value.
Hey, everybody, you're listening to Marco Evans. He is the founder of Now Hiring You. He is a recruiter down in Florida, South Florida, right?
That's right. Yep.
And, you know, we met a few weeks ago and we kind of had a really great chat. And I said, you know, let's talk about the great resignation. Let's get into what lawyers are really interested in hearing about as it relates to what's going on in the space, because it's been crazy this last year. Marco, before we get into all that stuff, what's your background leading into, you know, up to 2022? You've been in recruiting, is it 20 years?
Yeah, 20 years. That's right.
Yeah. Okay. So give a little background on that leading up to starting this business, Now Hiring You.
Well, you know, I got in it by default. I was in another industry, and one of my clients asked me many years ago if I wanted to learn the business, and, you know, kind of picked it up from there and worked for this gentleman for 5 years, and then started my own shingle in 2002 and kind of took off from that point. You know, after many years, we decided to focus. One of my mentors always told me, you know, market yourself like, I guess the best way to put it would be a specialist. And, yeah. You know, but, you know, sometimes you have to do a little generalist work too.
Yeah. I mean, so, I started off as a generalist working with every kind of weird business that exists, from a carpet cleaner to a Caribbean medical school hired me to a big national bank and even a dentist and everything in between. It was just bizarre, but it was fun because I got to see so many different types of people and businesses. But at some point, yeah, you realize that what you do is better for certain people in industries than others, or you just realize if you don't specialize, then you're sort of, you know, you're everything to everybody, which means you're really nothing to nobody in some ways. So specialization for me, you know, happened after I found lawyers had a need in 2008, and took me a year or two to come around, but definitely pushed my chips in after that. When did you figure out that legal was your space that you wanted to focus?
Well, you know, back in the early days, we had something called monster.com.
I
don't know if you remember that.
Oh, who doesn't remember Monster?
and I printed this resume and I took it to one of my clients. I'd never done legal recruiting before. And I took it to one of my clients at the time. He happened to be my lawyer. And I showed it to him and he goes, wow, this is an incredible resume. I want to talk to this guy. So he ultimately ended up getting hired. And, you know, bad me, I thought, wow, this business is really easy. I got paid a big fee. And he hired the guy. I'm still in touch with the candidate today. He's a friend and a fabulous attorney. And many years later, that was kind of what kicked it off, all strictly by happenstance.
Yeah. Okay. But sometimes it's opportunity that knocks and we jump at it and then we see what it is and we realize we can replicate it or dig our heels in if we want. So let's get into the great resignation. I mean, it is in full force. And I mean, I was mentioning to you pre-call that, I mean, in the last week, I've gotten three different clients of mine asking me for a specific type of attorney. And I wish I could help them all. Like, I'm a good guy to call. I know tons of attorneys. Like, there's no shortage of attorneys I know, but they're all in need. They're not asking for jobs or people looking for, you know, sending me resumes. It's the opposite. Everybody's gainfully employed now. And so now how do law firms who have gaps in their in their teams, you know, get those gaps filled. So talk to that, the great resignation as you see it from a recruiter's set of eyes, and then how has recruiting kind of changed more maybe this year than last year or the last couple?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think the first thing that law firms, depending on their size, they need to consider doing is hiring a recruiter. And you may think, well, that's
what are you? I wish I knew some.
Yeah. But I'm not talking about a guy like Marco Evans. I'm talking about somebody that they need to have internal on their payroll. They need an internal recruiter, you know, somebody that will be out there, that will be marketing the firm, that will be doing what they need to do to keep that pipeline of great talent coming. Now, one thing we're seeing for sure, and it shrinks every single year, it's shorter and shorter. And I laugh about it because it kind of does make our industry a little bit better because it gives more activity. And that is, you know, job tenure. It's below 3 years now. So I had a client, you know, last year, he said, you know, we loved your paralegal. We got a year out, year and a half out of her. She was great. Everybody in the office got along with her. That's about what we expect a life, you know, the shelf life of a paralegal, maybe a year and a half. And then things happen. They move on. They decide to do different things. They don't want to drive. They move and they move away from the firm. So the best thing that you can do is have somebody internal to you. It's a lot more cost effective than using a guy like me or a firm like ours. The best thing you can do is have somebody internal to your firm that does nothing but that.
I mean, is that reasonable for a small firm of 5 or 10 people that they need one or two more people to staff up to hire a full-time recruiter internally?
It is very cost effective rather than, okay, you know, paying the cost of a search firm. Now, if you're at a small firm with 5 people, you know, you don't have that cash flow to be able to support a full-time recruiter. So one of the partners, usually it's the managing partner. It may be somebody in the marketing department. If you have a marketing department, somebody that carries that torch for the firm, they are the hiring partner. They are the hiring entity. They are the person that is monitoring the ads and putting the postings up on social media and going to the events and talking the talk and walking the walk about what they need to do to increase the influx of people that they need inside the firm. Somebody's got to wear that hat if you can't afford to have somebody dedicated to it.
You should do a program. I'm spoiling this for everybody that's listening, other recruiters that are listening, but maybe there aren't any. You should do a class for managing, not a class, a program for managing partners where they bring in that marketing director or they learn what you're talking about, how to do it. And you can get like, I don't know, paid for training to like train them how to do some, to get somebody internal to do those things. Because they, I think the biggest concern they're going to have is, that sounds great, Marco, but nobody knows how to do that. And that's not a skill set we have internally right now. Who's going to train them to do that?
Well, you know, it's funny. And, you know, one of the things we keep learning from, you know, the pandemic is that, you know, when we hire recruiters for our own firm, they say, what tools do you have? And I say, we have all of them. What tools do you need? Because everybody operates in their own shell, slightly different. Some people like to sit behind the scenes and do social media posts and send out email blasts. We do that. You know, having a presence on lawjobs.com, that's a great one. In our case, the Florida Bar, you know, it's a great site to go to for looking up attorneys and to doing job postings. You can do an attorney search on the Florida Bar website. But in reality, you have to do all of them to be good at what you do. If you only do one and that's not working, you don't have any place to go.
Got it. So getting an internal recruiter, making someone at the marketing department, the managing partner, somebody make that a part of their job or their full-time job, at least for the short term, until you get those couple people, you know, in place. And maybe it's a never-ending process that recruiting, like having a major league team has a baseball scout, right? That you just can't stop recruiting. You have to keep on it, whether you're hiring that out or doing it internally or both. It doesn't stop because it's just, you know, that's sort of the thing now that people are, like you said, 1.5 years on a paralegal, maybe it's 3 years on an attorney, right? So like you have to keep thinking about that void that needs to be filled and making sure it's not, that there isn't a big gap.
Sure. No, you're completely right about that. You know, and smaller firms always have the hiring partner. The hiring partner is the person that's in charge of it.
Okay.
You know, oh, the resumes go to Jack or Susan. Yeah, she's going to take a look at it. And, you know, what are the rules of engagement? Be responsive, be nice, create a great culture, you know, have a good compensation plan. And, you know, when you look at compensation these days, and you mentioned that earlier, you know, lawyers really only get paid one of two ways. The first way is by what they originate. The other way is by what they produce in terms of revenue. Associates are slightly different. They're paid a fixed salary and then they get bonused at the year end. But as a partner, you're working on something called a formula. And they vary tremendously between firm to firm for whatever has worked for all those years. So what a good recruiter should do is should be able to analyze the book of business that somebody has and decide what firms are going to match that culture, that environment, and his compensation structure to be able to yield the best result. In other words, if I'm a great, great originator, and I bring in millions of dollars of business for in whatever practice area that is, you know, you want, one needs to look at that particular attorney into a firm that recognizes an originator and how it will fit into their corporate structure. On the other hand, if I'm a workaholic and I don't originate that much business, you may want to look at a firm that pays more in the work that you produce rather than what you originate. So it's a bit of professional matchmaking.
Legalese Marketing is not your traditional marketing vendor. Instead, we're a true fractional CMO that helps you save time and spend your money the right way to build the practice of your dreams. We help through the entire process, from customizing your intake system to driving leads and even getting more reviews afterwards. Schedule your free call at legalesemarketing.com.
Hi, I'm Steph from Moneypenny. We're trusted by leading law firms and attorneys to answer calls virtually, professionally, and brilliantly. Our high-tech receptionist service enables us to route calls to your teams wherever they're working, and even recognize and prioritize calls based on whether they're a repeat caller, a new client, or a VIP. Claim your exclusive partner rates and free trial by quoting Fretzin today.
And I've noticed that, you know, through the statistics. For example, I had Carl Fix on my show a couple, you know, a week or two ago, and he was, you know, just had all this data in front of him. He was just reading like what the salaries are and how they're going up in first year, third year, big firms, et cetera. And it's pretty dramatic, the changes in what's going on with salaries and total comp. So what are you seeing as you're out there in the field, that are lawyers looking for like so much more than they used to? 50%, 30%, are firms willing to pay the big bucks to fill those gaps and to build their bench?
I mean, I think it varies between the different firms that are doing the hiring. And certainly there's a big disparity, a big range, a big delta between the AM20 firms and what you'll make as a first year and say a defense firm. But one thing is for certain, especially here in Florida, there is a shortage of associate attorneys to do the work that the partners are bringing in. So I think we have in Florida 11 law schools, and if they're putting out between 200 and 300 lawyers per year, then you can imagine there's an influx of 3,000 newer lawyers that have to pass the bar, of course, and then an influx of different candidates that are coming from outside of Florida that need to work. So that 4,000 to 5,000 attorneys that are coming into the job market in Florida is not enough. You know, the defense firms are busy, the litigation firms are busy, the international folks are busy, immigration is busy, all the practice areas are hitting on all cylinders. So it's a matter of where you are, the type of firm that it is, and what your background is, which really determines your compensation. But one thing is for certain, they are going up.
And have you seen any movement from in-house counsel moving back into private practice because of the ranges that are jumping? So like someone that's been in-house for 5 years and works at a big corporation going it back to a big, you know, AM Law 100 firm because they're going to make 200,000 more than they are now or something insane like that.
Well, I think, again, it depends on the formula. If you spent 5 or 6 years as a general counsel, associate counsel, I mean, you've developed, you know, connections in the market, you've developed relationships, but you don't have any business. So again, if you look at the formula implications of bringing a general counsel back into the firm side, he or she has to have an idea of where the business is going to come from. So in many cases, what happens is that in-house counsel comes into a firm environment, and then they turn around and they do business back with the firm that they, the company that they came from. That's a win for everybody. It's a win for the candidate. It's a win for the departing firm, and it's a or company, and it's a win for the firm that that person is going to. So that checks all the boxes. What gets to be a little bit tough is, you know, when you have somebody that doesn't have any business and does and only has few relationships. They come into a firm environment. At that point, what's the word for it? You know, they have to have a very specific skill that they have that the firm needs, has a desire to build, or they have an influx of pipeline of business that they need to work on. As an example, it might be a pharma role, a patent attorney, where they have a specific need, nutraceuticals, they have a specific need. Somebody is coming out of that arena and they're moving into a firm and the firm wants to service that client base. So
I think they call that the Liam Neeson, a very special set of skills. Terrible Liam Neeson, by the way. I don't do any accents well. They're all terrible. But yeah, again, I think, you know, listen, it comes back to, you know, your experience, your brand in the market and how effective you are as an attorney in your space. And of course, it comes back to business development, which, you know, is obviously my space. And there are so many attorneys that are you know, wanting to advance and get that other job and move to another firm. And I think there was a little window where lawyers with no books were getting crazy offers because they just needed to fill those gaps. And now maybe that's slowing down a little bit. And they're saying, yeah, we need to fill the gap, but we you know, we're not gonna be crazy money if you don't have a book, you don't have that portable book to bring with you.
You know, I don't know if you're a sports fan or not, but, you know, I'm watching what's happening right now and the NFL, the trades that are happening. And, you know, this quarterback's going to this team, one's going to another team. You know, it all depends on the need of the firm. You know, if you've got a firm that really needs a transactional corporate attorney, they are going to, you know, they're going to do what they can to bring in that practice area to service their clientele. It's that simple. You know, if you need a quarterback, you got to hire one. You can't run them without a quarterback.
Well, you just bring Brady back, right? You guys did. So that took care of that. But, you know, and the Bears, forget it. Like, what are we doing? We have no clue what we're doing here in Chicago. And I'm not a sports fan in the sense of I'm not like watching games and stuff. I play sports. I don't watch sports. I'm a real man. Not at all. But I like to fish and play paddle sports. Okay. So moving along, the next question, I had a really good question. I'm trying to remember what it was. The lawyers who are at their firms now and all this craziness is sort of happening around them and they're just kind of keeping their heads down. They're happy at their job. They're getting paid what they've been paid and things are kind of moving around them crazily. What should they be asking for things? Should they be taking advantage of this time? Not in a negative way, but in a way that says, like, there are people that are being brought in as associates that are getting paid, you know, just under what I'm getting paid as a partner, or there are people that are, you know, it just, there's some stuff going on. What should they be thinking about the people that are at the lawyers from the lawyer's perspective?
You know, the real interesting thing that happened that you could have never anticipated during the pandemic was that people wanted to talk. You know, they were great getting on the phone or having an email conversation or doing a Zoom. You know, maybe we weren't going out to lunch together for all the obvious reasons, but people wanted to talk. People wanted to be listened to. One of my favorite quotes from one of my clients, that the guy's got to be close to 75 years old. He's still got a small practice in Hollywood, Florida. And I said, how is it that you don't have any turnover? And we were out to lunch at the time. And he goes, every morning when I get in, I walk to every desk, and there are only 11 of them. I walk to every desk and I ask people how they're doing. And I know something about their family. I know something about their husband, their wife, their kids, things that are happening. And I make it personal.
Yeah,
and they respect me for that. And when we did an analysis of the salaries that they were paying, they were fairly compensated, but they weren't at the high end and they weren't at the low end. And so there are things that you can do as a managing partner to keep your staff engaged. Of course, we talked about training earlier. But if you are somebody that is concerned about where they are in the market, you know, it's look around, you know, and there are opportunities out there for somebody that, you know, has a unique skill that maybe they're leaving some money on the table, or they can see a guy like you that will help them develop their book bigger. And if they're formulaically compensated, their salaries are going to go up. You said something that's completely right. There are partners that are getting paid at the same level as associates are. But remember that the partners are all on a formula. So if you're not producing and you're not originating, you're going to get stuck at that lower salary level.
And here's the other thing that I'm interested in and don't know how it's going to play out and when it's going to play out. But if even the big firms are paying their people and just generally firms are paying their lawyers significantly more than they have in the past, how's that going to work out in a year or two or three? As far as like the firm is going to make less money, I don't think they like that. Is it going to go to the clients? Well, they're not. They want to go the other way. They don't want rate increases. They want rate decreases. So I'm just wondering, like, how is that all going to play out? I don't know if you have a feeling about that.
I don't know that I've ever heard of a rate decrease. I do know.
Well, you know what? Like, they're bringing in procurement departments at the bigger firms and stuff. Like, they're trying to sharpen the pencil and trying to figure out how to make litigation, you know, more efficient cost and whatever.
Cost effective.
Sure.
Yeah. No, I get it. So, I mean, let's face it, you know, how do you control cost? How do you control expenses? And how do you control the price of goods? All you have to do is turn on the TV, any channel, and they're going to talk about inflation. So, you know, as inflation goes up, salaries have to go up to be able to, you know, to buy formula or gas or go out to dinner or whatever it is that you need to spend your money on. But that's a critical component. People need to make more money. So,
I mean, but let me ask you, is it an opportunity? Again, you and I are just talking shop a little bit here, but I always see some of these things like opportunities for the mid-market. I see opportunities for the small firm, the mid-market, because as rates go up with the big firms, because they can't go down, right? They got to keep their line the same. And the rates get even crazier. And there's some people that'll go with them no matter what, but there may be a percentage that said, look, this is getting insane. The mid-market has a lot of talent. Why aren't we looking there to offset some of these, you know, these costs? And should mid-market attorneys be looking? I think, you know, I'm telling my people too, but looking at you know, trying to poach some business from the big firms.
It's a great question. And, you know, if I were to have my own law firm, I would be a middle market firm. And there are several national firms that kind of fit into that category. Marshall Dennehy, Buchanan Ingersoll, Lewis Brisbois, Fox Rothschild, Cozen O'Connor, they have rate flexibility in what they're able to charge to a client. You know, if I needed legal fees done, am I going to spend $1,300 an hour on a New York lawyer? No, but I'd certainly spend half of that on a New York lawyer that's working in a middle market firm. I mean, I think that's the coup de grace where you have both. And that lawyer knows that they have to produce more work and that their clients are going to be fewer and far between. But that's a good thing. I think it's easier to land a car dealership than it is to land a Ford. It's easier to originate a distillery than it is to work with Bacardi. And these lawyers know that, and the companies know that. You know, if you go to work for an AM 100 firm, the retainers are $50,000 minimum, and your hourly rates are quickly approaching $1,000 an hour. That limits the amount of business that you can bring in. So when you're originating work, you know, it's hard. And I'll tell you, there's another thing that we hear at the bigger firms. The more senior partners are very protective of their origination credit. So in other words, if you bring in Wells Fargo in Florida, there may be a partner in New York that says, well, they've been my client for 25 years. That's my origination. It may have no connection at all to Florida or Chicago or anywhere else, but that lawyer many years ago planted the flag. So, and I think that mid-sized firms are more agile and they do something called a fee share, a fee credit, where they'll split an origination. They'll talk to the guy in New York and he gets 20%, and the guy in Florida, Chicago, Dallas, he gets 80% because he really brought in the work. But in respect to the attorney that originally landed it, he gets a piece of it.
Well, and interestingly enough, I mean, I'm training attorneys on how to negotiate internally when they bring in business or share business with their partners, because here's what's happening. If somebody doesn't want to share the origination credit and they're going to give you, you know, hundreds of hours of work to do, and you then don't have the ability to use that those hours on your own stuff or to go out and originate your own stuff, you're at it now at a, you know, at a loss in some ways.
You're at a disadvantage.
You're at a disadvantage. So I'm explaining to them, you know, you could tell them, look, I'm not taking on that work. I'm not going to take on that client or take on that work if I don't get a cut, because I have a limited amount of time and hours in origination. I need to maximize it. And my clients know we're going after the gold and we're going after the money. And we can't afford to just bill hours that are handed to us, because that's just taken away from all of our all of our time that's in our ability to go and develop our own clients. So crazy stuff, man. Let's wrap up on that. I do want to ask you about your book, though. Anything else you want before we go on? Anything else you want to share wrapping things up, Marco?
Yeah, there is. I read an interesting article that managing partners are getting to a point now, and this was an edict at one of the large firms, I don't remember the name, that they must share the origination credit to the younger attorneys. You know, so it encourages them to be active on a file, to be responsive, because they're getting a credit on. I think that's a great strategy. I just wanted to add that to what you're talking about.
And some firms have a three-way, and you mentioned two at the beginning. There's billable, there's origination, and then they have a thing called managing credit, which acts as origination, right? And so then, even though they didn't originate, but they're managing it, they're running it, they're talking with the GC all the time, et cetera. They're getting credit for that time and effort that's being put in on top of the billable hours. And so a nice mix of those. I think firms that have updated comp systems that takes into consideration those three elements seem to have a better culture than the ones that have formulas that are archaic and sort of like, or the Wild West, where there's no formula other than I decide what the formula is at the end of the year and then, you know, hope for the best.
Well, Steve, you bring up a really good point. I think it is important that people understand how they're going to make money. And the firms are split down the middle. Closed compensation, open compensation. I know what you make. You know what I make. I originated more. I make more. I produced more. I make more. You know, that works. I mean, people want transparency. All you have to do is turn on the nightly news and see what's going on our politics to know that people want to be informed.
Yeah. No doubt about it. No doubt about it. All right. And so our last segment of our show today, Marco, is game-changing books. And there's a game-changing book that you submitted to me called Who's in Your Room? And hopefully that's not a creepy thing. Okay. Cause it sounds a little creepy just hearing it, but it's by Ivan Meisner. So I've never heard of that book before. So Who's in My Room? Who's in Your Room? What's that about? Like, give me the very short synopsis of that. And then why you submitted that to me.
Yeah, absolutely. So 35 years ago, Ivan Meisner decided that he was trying to figure out how to grow his CPA firm business. And so he assembled a group of guys together and they started having breakfast. And later on in life, they nicknamed it, they came up with a name called BNI, Business Networking International.
Sure.
Ivan is the founder and chief visionary officer of BNI. And that's one of the books that he wrote. He's written several, but I really like that one because I think it's applicable to people that you're spending time with in your life.
And what's the big takeaway? Like, if you just say the biggest takeaway from that book
The biggest takeaway in that book is who you're spending time with.
Yeah.
We all have that one friend that, you know, whatever happens, you know, they start the conversation with, you'll never believe what happened to me today. What is it? Your car, your house, your dog? You know, you need to spend time with people that elevate you and bring you up to another level. And that's what BNI is all about. I'm the president of the largest chapter in the Southeast. It's called Biscayne Connection. And it's a great way to help attorneys originate work. We have 18 lawyers in the chapter, and it all ties back to that book and spending time with people that can help you and will lift you up.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, Marco, thank you so much for being on the show and sharing your wisdom and having this really engaging conversation. I think lawyers are really interested in hearing the opinion of a top recruiter and someone that's really kind of interfacing with all these different lawyers and law firms and on the ground floor of it. If people want to get in touch with you to hear more about you or reach out directly for your help, what's the best way for them to reach you?
Yeah, please just visit our website. It's Now Hiring You, three words all together. NowHiringYou.com.
Beautiful, beautiful. Thanks again. I really appreciate you spending some time with me and my audience.
You got it. Thank you so much.
Hey, and everybody, thank you for spending some time with Marco and I today. Hopefully you got a couple of good thoughts, ideas, takeaways. And again, always happy to counsel and help lawyers who are interested in moving or not moving or are interested in growing their books of business. As we talked about in some detail today, you know, it's a big part of what allows you to control your life, control your destiny, and really be able to decide, do I want to go, stay, go off on my own? Having your own clients is the key. And most lawyers know that. The lawyers who don't know that probably have their head in the sand or don't care. And that's okay too. Again, different strokes for different folks. Again, you know, be that lawyer, someone who's confident, organized, and a skilled rainmaker. And that's something that's a good mantra. Take care, everybody. Be safe. Be well. We'll talk again soon.
Thanks for listening to Be That Lawyer. Life-changing strategies and resources for growing a successful law practice. Visit Steve's website, Fretson.com, for additional information and to stay up to date on the latest legal business development and marketing trends. For more information and important links about today's episode, check out today's show notes.